last couple of weeks, and I think this is the third week we've been dealing with it, and I've given kind of some historical background to the feminist movement. And listen, we talked about the menace of feminism a little bit, and I was telling, if you haven't been here, I was basically sharing with you all the history of feminism at some point, and we'll go more in depth at different times and everything like that, but really in discussing how that has impacted our nation and what it has done to our country and how it has changed our homes. Listen, the devil's attack, the devil used this thing of feminism to attack the family structure. But he didn't have to do a whole lot after he attacked the family structure, because when you destroy the family, then you destroy everything else.
Right.
He knew that. The devil knew that. That's why when he went after Eve, he understood that if he would destroy Eve or he would bring her down, that he would get to Adam and it would change everything. And it did, didn't it? The outcome of that was amazing. And I find today in our society what we're facing, even especially in America, America is worse because we have no excuse for a lot of things that we do here in this country. But feminism's effects on this country have been unbelievable. On the church, unbelievable. We don't want to admit that today, and most of your fundamentalists, and I'll tell you, most of them are too proud to admit that there's a problem, that they may have problems in their church,
right,
and they may be doing something wrong that they're not supposed to be doing, or they may not be doing something biblical. If you talk to the average pastor, and you try to just sit down and reason with them and talk about some of these issues, whether it be the 501c3 issue that we've talked about here before, whether it be this thing of feminism, whether it be, hey, is it a good idea to have a bunch of junior church programs and everything else, or is it better to have it biblically where all of the family is together during the preaching of God's word and everybody is there? When you try to talk, they are so proud and arrogant that you won't get very far with them. They will shut you down really fast when you start talking. Anybody that is a thinker, that goes back, that studies history, that sticks strictly to the Bible, they will shut you off and not listen to you for the most part. The reason why is because they're threatened by it.
Right.
You know, do you really believe that if all these things didn't happen, as we look at everything that's happened in our nation and how we try to plant churches and everything else, you know why it's so hard to plant a church today? Because we don't want to plant it biblically. We want to plant it modernly. We want to plant it from the fundamentalist movement point of view, where we have to have all of these ducks in a row to make it work. You got to have all your Sunday school teachers, your junior church work. You have to have all of these other things. Why do you think it was so easy for Sandy Creek to plant churches?
Right.
It was so easy because they just went off a simple model. They said, okay, everybody gets together, the preacher preaches the word of God, they sing some hymns together, we pray together, and then we go home.
Right. Right.
Amen? And it was a very simple model. But then when we moved to a model, through time we moved to a model of entertainment and everything else, it changed everything.
Right.
It just changed everything. Well, part of that, a lot of that has to do with the feminist movement. And you don't realize that, and we'll not get in depth with that with the church here today, but we will cover it. But one of the movements, just to recap just quickly, because we talked about this a few weeks, so I'm not going to belabor the point of that. One of the motives and the goals of the feminist movement was to lower the birth rate.
Right.
That was one of their main goals, was to lower the birth rate. If they could lower the birth rate, and how do you lower the birth rate? You get mom out of the house.
Yeah. Right.
If you can get mom out of the house, you'll lower that birth rate. You'll change it all. If you can push her into the workforce while she has children at home, and understand, I'm speaking when a mom has children at home and she's to take care of them. I'm not saying that it's wicked for a woman to work. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that it's not God's biblical plan or order for a lady to leave her kids and walk away.
Right.
And let somebody else raise them. And listen, my mom took care of other kids and was in daycare. And I know a lot of ladies that did day, and they're sweet people. That doesn't change the fact that there's a perfect order that God has. You understand that? That's not putting down what those ladies have done and what some godly ladies that have taken care of kids. I'm not putting down what I'm saying is that's not God's perfect order. We either decide that we want to do things God's way, or we'll take the secondary way.
Right.
You know, in my Bible, I've always understood that we want to be in the perfect will of God.
Right. Yeah?
That's what our goal is. It should be always our goal to be in the perfect will of God. Not do things half-heartedly, but do it all to the glory of God. Now, so that was a big thing. They wanted to, the feminist movement, I read you quotes, now I'm not reading them again, but I read you quotes about about their goal to, you know, to lower the birth rate. That's it. We have too many kids, they said. And we don't need this many kids in the world. And if you come from a big family up here, and you've got a lot of brothers and sisters and everything else like that, and many families did. And I commented that Benjamin and Franklin used to say that the average family back then had 8 children. Well, what changed? Well, a lot changed. A lot changed. I mean, you say, well, times were hard. Wait a minute now. Times were hard when Isaac Bacchus and those men were out there. Times were hard then, too. And times were hard when, help me out here, Isaac McCoy had 13 children and was a missionary and buried about 12 of them, or 10 of them, one of the two, but that buried many of them on the mission field. Times were tough for him too, right? But that didn't change it. That didn't change anything. What I'm saying is that something changed in our country. Something changed the mindset. Well, war had a lot to do with it, but feminism used that. And it was, I was talking last week to Brother Russ and Candy, and we were talking about, the Marxist movement and how that had impacted with feminism, and how he understood that if you could just get to America through the moms, and you could change things through the lady, then you would change the whole system. He knew that the family, the churches were strong because the families were strong, they were doing right. He knew that if he could chip away at that foundation, he would change everything. Right. All you have to do to somebody is get them to not accept the position, that the glorious position that God has given them, whether it's a man as a leader or a lady as a godly mother and a submitted wife and a follower. All you have to do is just make her think that that is a bad thing, and once you do that, you will cause her to change everything about her reality, and everything else will change from that.
Right.
All you have to do is cause some discontent. That's all you have to do. Show a pie in the sky. Show a different. Show an equality. Well, remember, we talked about that too. Equal rights are not identical rights.
Right.
It's not the same thing. Those are two different things altogether. Now, if that makes you mad, then you might be a feminist.
Right.
If that makes you mad, you might be a feminist. You just might be.
Right.
If subjection to a godly husband seems rough to you, then you might be a feminist. Amen.
Right.
And we talked about the divine teaching from Scripture, the divine order that God had. Feminism hates that divine order that God had. And that movement hates that. Now, also, so the first one was the birth rate. Try to make man and women identical is what the idea was. Make them identical. Listen, a woman is not a female man.
Right.
She's not the same. She doesn't think the same. Believe me, she doesn't think the same. Not in the least bit. And that's not derogatory. I'm just telling you, they don't see things the way we do, guys.
Right.
And I'm glad they don't.
Right.
Because a lot of times they'll add some common sense to something where you get irate and you're upset about something, and they can kind of see a little bit different of a side to it.
Right.
That's why the woman is the completer for the husband.
Right.
The sad part about it is what a lady doesn't realize when she takes this road of feminism, what she does not realize is she is sadly leaving the glorious position that God has given her. She's also not completing her husband. It's supposed to be two walking together
right.
as one. That's what it's supposed to be, as one. That's what perfects it. That's why children come out right, because they have a husband, there's a father, and there's a mother.
Yeah.
And you need both in the family. You need both to raise children. Amen? Amen. Now, sometimes I understand there's other circumstances. I'm saying God's perfect order is both. But feminism destroys that order.
Right.
It changes that order, corrupts that order.
Amen? Right.
It happened in the garden. He went through Eve and said, "Hey, listen, if you just do this, you'll be fine. Eve, you'll be as a god. Don't worry about what Adam's doing. Go your own way, Eve. Make your own choices." See?
Right.
I mean, that's what he's appealing to. He's appealing to her independence. He'll be a god. And see, a lot of times I guarantee you, you could not preach this or talk about this in the average, and I'm not talking about liberal church.
Right.
I'm talking about fundamental Baptist church.
Right.
Because those ladies would start a lynching party, and that pastor would get real nervous. He'd start sweating real hard. But then ladies look at me. I'm used to women looking at me, and it don't faze me at all. I'm just telling you that right now. I love God's book more than I do you. I fear his face when I stand before him. He says, why do you stand up to those women? What are you, some kind of a coward?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And the sad part about it is husbands that don't support this position, they support feminism by kowtowing and doing everything, they do more damage than if you were just silent about it. Now, but anyway, that was the first goal was that. The second one was an increased number of divorces. Feminism, its goal was to increase the number of divorces. And I'll read you a couple quotes. Undoubtedly, many men in the past strictly adhered to the seventh commandment, yet made their wives so utterly wretched that these might have welcomed a rival who would have engrossed their husband's attention and left them some measure of individuality and freedom. So get another woman so that you don't have to mess with me. You can leave me alone. That's basically what she was saying. This was one of the king feminists. Queen feminists. Maybe she wants to be a king, I don't know. But understand this, divorce has been the downfall of the United States of America. It has been the downfall. Dr. Holtzclaw points out that for a period of 500 years, Rome had but one divorce, and when the divorce laws were changed, the empire soon went down in shame and disgrace. Changed everything. Yeah. Folks, why are we so surprised by that? Let's all bend our heads against the wall. Why are we so surprised at that when we destroy the foundation of marriage that God and the institute of the family that God laid down, and we decide to rebel against that and go an opposite way? We're all surprised our country's going to hell.
Right.
My goodness, how dumb are we?
Right.
We're really shocked by that. We're just so absolutely shocked. I can't believe a little divorce would cause that. Not a little divorce, folks. A 50% divorce rate among people that profess to be born again believers.
Right.
50%! But we're surprised that our country's going to hell, but we'll go blame the homosexuals for it. Let's blame them. Let's get our pitchforks and go after them because they're the ones to blame for it. It's not the Christians that sit in the churches and act by it, though.
Right.
Amen. Come on, folks. It's the truth. I mean, judgment begins at the house of God. Does it not? Are homosexuals going to change the country for the better? Absolutely not. They're wretched and lost and on their way to hell. Are politicians going to? No. 99% of them are lost too.
Right.
The other ones just lie about it. But anyway, are they going to change the country? No.
Right.
Who is? Well, I don't know. Who made this country the way it is in the first place? God. What else happened? Well, if you look at the history of liberty and everything else, the United States of America, you'll see that born-again, Bible-believing, God-fearing Baptists were the ones that shaped the nation. And some Presbyterians and others, but they changed the nation. They formed and forged the nation through the Word of God. Now what's changed? We walked away from all of it. That's what's changed. We allowed the feminist movement to creep in. A lady, you know, with a feminist and a figure in the British business world who was denied a seat in the House of Lords has recently divorced her husband. Just why? And militant. She was militant. She should wish that a husband is not a parent. Should feminism triumph, divorce will become the order of the day. Already the divorce evil threatens the very existence of our social fabric. This is back in the late 1800s, 1905 or something like that, actually, exact, in between that period when this was written. But it goes to show you that, listen, what we're facing back then, they understood what was coming. That if you lack these divorce laws, you make it so easy for somebody to get a divorce, and you enter into marriage lightly, which is most of the problem. It's entering into marriage lightly. It's not really. You will not see the divorces if the entering into marriage is not done so lightly.
Right.
That's why the state should have nothing to do with marriage.
Right.
Right.
Man, the church's responsibility, not the state.
Yeah.
Amen. But whether you like it or not, that's the way it's always been until America decided to put their stamp of approval on it and so many people shut their mouth.
Right.
But it was always the church's responsibility marriage was. Now, it was recognized by the state, yes, but it wasn't the authority of marriage.
Right. Right.
Now look what happened. Now you have a debate going on about homosexual marriage and everything else, which doesn't even make sense, but because it can't be. It's not marriage. But they are going to push that through, and that agenda will push through. It'll eventually push through, and you'll have those as being called marriages, but they're not marriages. But does it change the fact? Just like I don't believe the state, I don't care if a state grants a divorce. If God doesn't grant it, it doesn't make a difference what the state says.
Right.
You understand me?
Amen.
Amen. Because God is the one that instituted marriage. Amen.
Right.
Amen. might not understand that, but you read your Bible, you'll understand a little better. Listen to this. So long as women are taught and believe that the mission and ministry of motherhood is slavish and monstrous, it is but natural that they should rebel against the obligations and duties of married life. And what's being taught? Well, you don't have to submit. Or you're not going to say obey your marriage vows, are you? You don't have to do that, are you? Obey? You don't have to obey your husband. You don't, huh? On whose authority? If that bothers you, you might be a feminist.
That's right.
To the Bible.
Right.
See that? Right there, folks. Mm-hmm. Easy to see, plain as day.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, the feminist movement has a lot of ladies. Well, it's just like it's like when we talk about the president of the United States, you know, we've got a bunch of ladies running around wanting to be men who want to leave the country. That may bother some ladies,
right.
And I hope it does. But I don't. You can't show me where a lady is ever supposed to be authority over a man.
Right.
And please, when you go to Deborah like that, you only show your foolishness. Would you please stop doing that? Please don't pull out the Deborah card. I call it the Deborah card. I want to get a T-shirt made up for it. It's the Deborah card. They always go to the Deborah. What about Deborah? Yeah, what about her? It was a shame to Israel.
Right.
Bible expressly says that in Isaiah. That it was a shame to Israel that my women leave my people. It was a shame.
Right.
Yeah. Why is that so hard to understand that God has put men in authority? And that's, well, personal, because men don't want to act like men. They're too busy playing games today.
Right.
But that's why ladies do what they do, because men are still playing games. But so that's partially true. However, the problem is that you can't show me where that lady is supposed to leave. Either, I don't care who it is, but if you're talking about Palin, which is everybody's new Messiah that's going to come to the Republican Party and fix everything, and she's going to take a broom to the White House and sweep it all up. You caught that, huh? Good. She's gonna come and fix the White House and fix all of everybody's problems. Well, who's gonna fix her son?
Right.
You know, her little baby that God gave her, who's gonna take care of that one?
Right.
Last time I checked, that child still needed a mother.
Right.
Man. Oh, but she'll have plenty of time. Oh, she will. Really? Yeah, mom had time for golf again. Yeah. But who's going to take care of the baby? See, folks, there's no God-given authority for a lady to
right.
over. And by the way, there's no, you're as a husband are not allowed to give your wife permission to usurp your authority either. Did you know that? You're not allowed to do that either. You may have thought you were allowed to do that, but you're not allowed to disobey God's order either.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I gave permission. Well, that permission you're not allowed to give.
Right.
Who gave you the authority over God to change God's order? Well, we don't look at it that way, do we? Sad. We should.
Right.
We should look at it. In every age and civilization, the home has been regarded as the center and glory of a woman's sphere and work. This can never be changed until there is a change in the sex and nature of a woman. The very fact that they are to perpetuate the race by bearing children necessitates that their ministry be largely in the home. Until there is a change in the sex and nature of a woman, the home is in Maine must continue to be her sphere. This unalterable fiat of fate cannot be reversed until the woman becomes the male or the man female, or both transformed into the neuter gender. The eternal feminine is an everlasting fact, and the real man and woman have a right to thank God that it is true. Very true statement. That was God's order. That was the way that God intended it to be. Now, the only reason why that would bother you if you're a lady or a man, if you're a man, it might be because you're a little bit of a feminist. But if that bothers you as a man, then you really need to be a man. But if it bothers you as a lady, the reason why is because you've been indoctrinated by the world with the truth, with a false reality. You've been indoctrinated by it. And it's told you that, hey, this is the way it's supposed to be. Why? When were men and women ever equal?
Right.
When was that ever the way? That doesn't mean that a man is better than a woman. I said, when were they ever equal, though? When were they ever identical? I guess that's a better word to use. When were they ever identical? Yeah. I mean, last time I checked, I really don't want my wife to be identical with me. I don't know about you if you're married, but you probably don't want to look over at you, like I said last week. Yeah. I mean, you don't want to look over at you and be like, oh, I'm so glad I married me. I mean, that doesn't really appeal to most men. I mean, at least I hope it doesn't appeal to you. If it does, you're in the wrong church. But if that would appeal to you, then you have some issues. And you might be a cousin. Anyway, the next goal of feminism was to increase of illicit fornication. By common consent, the sin of our decade is the sin of sex. There's more of lust, fornication, adultery than any other period of the world's civilized history. During the past year, this is way back once, so these statistics are way older than what they are now. 60,000 young women dropped out of the sight, and suddenly, as though the earth was swallowing them up. They were practically all victims of the monster of lust and the demonic use of adultery. They played with fire and were consumed. At least talking about trafficking, sex trafficking, that still goes on, folks. If you think that doesn't go on, you might want to find out where that actually originates from and where that takes place. And you'd be shocked to know how that works. But when you see ladies that are missing, you better understand how that happens. Children that are abducted out of sight, there's no that is a systematic thing that is happening, folks. It's not, that is systematic. Yeah, what's that? It's organized. That's absolutely right. It is organized. That does not happen by accident. The kid just doesn't come up with something like that because there's just one crazy man. No, it's part of a network that's out there. These things do happen. But listen to me. Anyway, this movement was unquestionably contributed to the breakdown of the natural barriers between sexes and a lowering of the standard of virtue among men and women. Women used to blush when they were around men. When certain subjects and things were talked about, they would blush around them. They would not want that to be talked about. They would walk away from that. Most men would not talk about that because they understood that the person they were next to, being a female, they were different than them, and it's not appropriate to talk about such things in front of a female. But now that's not the case.
Right.
That's not the case anymore, is it? Oh, it's way different. Why? Because you wanted identical rights. Now, I'm going to talk about the weaker vessel here the next hour, so I'm not going to go into it too much. But let me just say this. You want identical rights, and then you complain if chivalry is dead. If there's not a man that will stand up and treat you like a lady and open the door for you and take care of you and try to help you. But if you want to be equal with a man, you must understand that a man will treat you like a man. And last time I checked, I didn't open the door for Brother Andrew.
I might
for Brother Meyer, but I won't do it for that. I won't do it for Brother Hendricks. But listen to me. Why? Because men don't treat men like they treat ladies.
Right.
And if you do, man, you need boxed in your head.
Right.
And what do I do it for you? Because he's leaving town, but don't matter. But listen to me. The truth is this. Is that there is a difference between man and woman. I know that's such a practical statement, and we ought to all grasp that. But listen, folks. Feminism, its goal was to make them identical. So what happens when you become familiar with somebody? You know why I still hold the practice that I don't ride around with a lady that's not my wife, and I don't spend time with a lady that's not my wife, and I don't want to talk to a lady that much that's not my wife?
Right.
You know why? You know why there's those barriers there? Because I know there's a difference. And I know if you become too familiar with a lady, what will happen to you if you do?
Right.
That makes sense.
Right.
Lady, if you become too familiar with a man that is not your husband, I know what can happen there. Amen?
Right.
That's why we don't spend time with other ladies that aren't our wives, gentlemen.
Right.
That's why we don't give attention to ladies that aren't our wives. That's why we don't do that. Because why? Because what can happen is sin.
Right.
But when you're so familiar and we've destroyed those lines, that's like these poor soldiers. I feel so bad for these soldiers now that there's with these homosexuals in the military and everything that's going on. You gotta take a shower around a guy like that.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Not me.
Right.
I always thought it was weird. I went to public school and they had showers like that. I thought that's the weirdest thing in the world.
Right.
There's a bunch of guys taking a shower in a big old thing. It's like you're in prison or something. Right?
Right.
This is the most grotesque, wicked thing I've ever seen in my life. No, it's not biblical.
Right.
It's wicked. It's the devil's what it is.
Right.
But listen, folks, there's too much familiarity. And what happens is when there's no difference, when we've made no difference, and then a lady will complain about it. My husband just doesn't romance me or treat me like this. Well, if you're trying to be identical to him, don't wonder why he's not doing it.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
If you won't let him be a man, then don't expect him to treat you like a lady.
Right. Right.
Amen?
Right.
And that's the problem. A lot of ladies now, they don't want, they want that equality. No, we're even, no. Listen, folks, because from the beginning of time, somebody had to lead and somebody had to follow. Sorry, I hate to break it to you. It's not like this new sporting thing that they want to put out where there's no no winners or losers anymore. It's not how it works. Not everybody can lead. Somebody's got to follow. You have two leaders in a marriage, you're going to be in trouble.
Right.
Two leaders in a family, you're going to be in trouble. Two leaders in a church, you're going to be in trouble.
Right.
Yeah? Why? Well, because it's not God's natural order, that's why. Now, the wealthiest and best-known families of our nation are contributing more than their share of victims to the consuming curse of wicked fornication. If we are to judge by the papers that leak at the top rather than the bottom, this may be accounted for by the fact that the influence of feminism is most pronounced with this class. That's the rich, by the way. That's where it started. The elite. Where it always starts. The doing away with long-existing standards of dress and deportment and the clamor of equal rights has not been in vain in the devil. Feminism has sowed the seed, and our nation is reaping the harvest of disgrace, death, and hell. You look at, this was written back in 1920. You look at it right now, I'm telling you folks, just the way that ladies dress now, when you go anywhere, the way, I mean, just in the summertime, you go walking around, and I'm telling you, you're going to be defiled right away. You're going to look straight forward or straight at their eyes, and just, that's it. Because you are going to be defiled by most of the dress that's out there today.
Right.
Why? Well, because they're dressing to attract a man, that's why. I like what one preacher said, if it's not for sale, don't advertise.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
True. Why advertise it then? Wicked. It's just carnality, it's wicked. Yeah.
Right.
When feminism has reached its height in France, the name of the mistress and mother were often synonymous. Napoleon wisely said, the need of France is good mothers. Yeah. Feminism does not produce good mothers.
Right.
In fact, it trains a bunch of next generation of daughters to be rebellious.
Right.
There's a lot that goes on in the home like that. What happens is the father will leave. Now remember, the mother is supposed to carry out the wishes of that father as the leader of that home. Amen. She's to carry out his direction, just like Jesus Christ came to earth, and what did he say? I do all things from my Father. Everything. All things, as the Father told him. All things. What did the Holy Spirit do when he came? What did the Holy Spirit do when he comes? He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I, as Jesus Christ, have said unto you. All things. The message isn't different, folks, in the family unit. And don't worry, I'll pick on you when it comes to when we get to parenting. But when it starts, the father sends the message, amen? The mother continues that message. It never changes. You don't say, well, don't tell your father, we'll just do this. You can listen to this music when your father's not at home.
Right.
Wrong.
Right.
What have you taught her? You just taught your daughter to rebel against her father. You just taught her to rebel against her husband. You just now taught her that there's a difference, that you are not united, that there's a difference between you two.
Right.
And whenever I want something, I'll go to that person. And when they won't give it to me, I'll bounce back to the other one. I'll cause division in the whole thing. That's what's been taught.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Feminism. That's what it is. It's just feminism.
Right.
Some of the feminists are now boldly advocating that every woman has the right to choose the father of her children, that she is under no obligation to enter into a marriage contract, that she may become a mother. Now remember, this is back before they did any of the things that we do right now. This is back in the 90s. So it's so funny. This is from a historical Baptist position. But it's funny that now, it's not funny, it's ironic, I guess I should say, but now we have ladies like, just go out and they just artificial insemination, things like that. That's what's done now. Well, you know what, I don't want to get married, I don't want to enter into the marriage contract. They're lesbians, whatever the case may be. What are they going to do? They just go have children themselves. They can choose whatever they want. They can choose the father of whoever they want to be father, whoever they want to be their father, that they'll just do it themselves now. What does it do? It destroys God's order.
Right.
Yeah. I can rebel against God's order. I don't need God anymore, and I don't need a husband anymore. Yes, you do. You wouldn't have a baby without a man.
Right.
Either way, that hasn't changed. You just are saying, I will not have this man to rule over me. You see?
Right.
That's what you're saying. When a feminist does it, she's saying, I will not have this man to rule over me. Well, listen, lady, we didn't make the divine judgment up or the sentence up. That was God's doing. Way back in the garden, if you were here, you heard that message. Not way back in the garden, you heard it, but you heard that message a few weeks ago that I preached about God's divine judgment on the sexes, God's sentence on the sexes. And that judgment, I covered that. It was on a Sunday night. If you haven't listened to it, it's online. You can listen to it. But God gave that divine sentence that she would have to submit to a husband that was not perfect. That was the sentence that God gave her, that she would have to submit. Because before she submitted to a perfect husband, wasn't that hard? Yes, she still rebelled. He was perfect. Yes, she still rebelled. Think about that.
Right.
Listen to this. The following is taken from a tract recently received and written by a forward feminist. All women shall freely choose the man or men for their children. Every woman shall have the full right to choose, if she cares, a different man for each child she is willing to bring into the world. No woman shall let herself and her children be supported by a man. Like that movement? Sick, isn't it?
Right.
Twisted against God's natural order. But if you don't ever study history or look and read, you won't know the history of some things. You know what? I'm doing it with everything we do here.
Right.
Do you understand that?
Right.
I do it. Brother Russ, he hadn't slept since he came here. He sends me emails all hours of the night, and I'm up too doing the same thing, reading, studying, and looking over stuff and saying, man, this is crazy. The stuff we're bouncing off each other and finding. Brother Andrew with music, people studying and looking at things and saying, you know what, we gotta make sure we're right about this. Let's look at the Bible, then let's look at historical. Where are we at? What has changed? I don't know why the churches have lost such effectiveness against the wickedness of this world. Don't tell me it's just because it's Laodicea, and I've got to accept that and say the Holy Spirit can't move anymore. I don't believe that. I do believe there's Laodicean churches out there, but I have to believe there's also churches that want to be right and are on fire trying to live for the Lord and people that are trying to be faithful. Folks, I'm just telling you, this feminist movement is horrible. It's from the pits of hell. And this seeking for this identical rights and to destroy the order of the sexes is causing much damage in our churches and in our homes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It used to be you would never hear of a lady speaking the way I hear some ladies talk.
Right.
And the way they talk to some men, it just shocks me.
Right.
It shocks me when a lady acts like she's tough with a guy. It just shocks me.
Right.
When I get done laughing, I'm so shocked by it. I mean, I've literally seen ladies stand up and they're militant feminists be like, well, I'll hurt you. But what? I mean, that's their attitude.
Right.
I've seen it.
Right.
I've seen it in churches. I've seen their attitudes in churches.
Right.
Folks, it's true. I've seen it in fundamental Baptist churches, their staunch attitudes of feminism. And then you tell me you're going to raise daughters for the Lord like that, and you're going to have godly young ladies come up? Don't fool yourself. You're lying to yourself. Because you're not going to have godly ladies come up when you don't show God's proper order. That doesn't give a man an excuse to do wrong. Believe me, I'll hit that in the next hour. It hardly needs to be said that the author of such infamy should be in one or two places, the penitentiary or a lunatic asylum. He was talking about which I created. Another feminist writes that her daughter, about to be married, will not take her husband's name, but will live with him for a brief period and then go to Europe for a change of scene. This was back when it was, it wasn't Europe. Anyway. Obviously, we have entered upon a period of social corruption and insanity, and the end is not yet. Well, he was right. Well, that was 100 years ago. This was finished in that boy. Is he right? It is sad. It is very sad what we've seen. The fact that reputable newspapers will feature such rottenness speaks poorly for the papers and the readers. Boy, you should come now and see it, buddy. You really be shocked. The spectacle of the spinster traveling around lecturing on eugenics and diseases before mixed assemblies is as pitiful as it is putrid. And he's talking about those transmitted diseases through fornication. Ladies back then were going around talking and speaking about eugenics and other things, and the elite, the Rothschild, and the rich people, and those folks. By the way, they've been around for. Did you think they were all men? You didn't think that old money runs this world? Oh my!
Right.
Did you think these new people that come on the scene are nothing more that they're actually figuring? No, they're puppets.
Right.
There's so much old, and I know I'm speaking over some people's heads, but there is so much old money out there. You'd be shocked.
Right.
Who do you think owns Super America? One major oil company. Who do you think owns a major oil company? Andrew, who owns most of the major oil companies? The foreign banks. Folks, it goes all. I mean, it's easy. All you got to do is look. They set up a holding company here. You say, why are you saying it? It's because it's all elite, and they put out the same information. They put out messages of abortion, messages of lowering the birth rate, messages of changing the family structure, not having many children. Everything, and it's all. And unfortunately, we're supporting it because there's nothing else we can do. We have to get gas, we have to get everything we can get, and we're just supporting the message. Do you see how it works? That's why. You know what I believe. What the scripture says, that Jesus is coming soon, but I also, and I believe the reason why is because we're going to be in such a position soon that we have no choice in anything that we do, and God's going to take us home before that.
Amen.
He's going to take us out of here because he said, I'm not going to suffer my people to sin, I'm going to take them home.
Amen.
I'm not going to suffer my bride to sin, I'm going to bring her home clean and spotless. I'm not going to allow her to be defiled by this world any longer.
Amen.
And he's going to come for us. I believe that.
Amen.
Surely they should address themselves to subjects they are supposed to know about and concerning which they can speak with authority. Such performances are the natural outgrowth of exaggerated feminism. It is passing strange that the feminist orator has little or nothing to say concerning the purity and uplift the home or the rescue of the fallen of her own sex. It would seem that this would present an inviting field for all her ingenuineness and energy. If she would talk more of the wrongs and their remedies, she would probably accomplish much more for the good of her sex and our entire race. We have a lot of female orators, female speakers out there. What they're doing, this is before the feminist movement kicked in. Now all you get is, hey, what sounds strange? We're calling some woman speaking unit. Or just wasn't done. See, they were mothers and they took care of their children. And that's how we raise godly young people. And
right.
That's where you've got men like Schubel Stearns and men like that, Charles Spurgeon, men like that came from mothers that were home taking care of their babies,
right.
Raising their children.
Right.
And if that bothers you, you might be a feminist.
Right.
But also, and next week we'll cover the increase in crime among women because of what took place with them. Listen, folks, when you destroy the barriers, I want you to think about this. When you destroy the barriers, I've heard men say this before. A woman's going to act like a woman, I'm going to knock her out just like a man. Or act like a man, I'm going to knock her out just like a man. And that sounds horrible, I know. But that's the result of feminism.
Right.
When you want that equality, that man no longer looks at you like a flower anymore.
Right. Right.
He looks at you as like competition. And if the rooster isn't in charge, he'll fly the coop. That's just how it works.
Right.
Somebody's going to be in charge. Whether a man has to do it in an abrupt way, he'll try to do it that way. Otherwise, what a lot of men do is they just divorce their wives and leave because they're tired of fighting their wives to leave their homes.
Right.
Seems a lot. It's no excuse to leave. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that's what happens.
Right.
What sin enters. And this feminist movement is more than what you think it is. And it affects more. And I guarantee you, it's affected every single one of us in this room. Every single one of us has been affected by feminism in that movement. All of us have. You know, and that's, a lot of it's not even our fault, it's been normal. Don't listen to me. Don't beat yourself up over things you didn't know either, by the way. Don't you go beating yourself up over things that you didn't know in your past or things that now God has revealed. You can't do anything about things you didn't know. What we can do is about things in the future.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
God forgives, God pardons, it's over, we move on to the future. But don't sit and beat yourself up over the past. Because God's not beating you up over that either. Amen. That's the devil trying to discourage you from doing what's right.
Yeah.
I find that the devil is so busy trying to discourage us to do wrong because of what we've made mistakes in our past, that it'll hinder our growth for the future.
Right.
We'll be so worried. Don't look at where you were, look at where you're going for God. Don't worry about the past there. You can repent of anything and God will forgive you. And listen, a lot of times we don't know these things. That's the blessedness of God, His forgiveness, His mercy. Amen. All right. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. I pray you bless us now. Pray you bless this next service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.